Father in heaven, we thank you again for this night you give us, a beautiful day to be in the house of God, Lord. What better place to be than to be here around the Word of God? Wouldn't it be wonderful things the rapture take place tonight while we were here? And then we'd really see who's right and who's wrong and who's did, Father. It'd be so much, it'd be reality rather than by faith. But if it doesn't happen, then we have the manifestation of faith. Such as things hoped for, everything's not seen while we're here. And we ask that the Holy Spirit help us tonight on this special subject. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Revelation chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 9 down to about verse 20, and then we're going to chapter 4 and read a few verses. And I wonder, have you ever thought about trying to tell somebody something when they didn't have their attention? Anybody ever tried that? You try to talk to someone or tell somebody something when they didn't have their attention. As a matter of fact, it's kind of hard to tell people anything much if you even have their attention. But I thought about when God speaks, how much, I know this, when I think about God, He has our attention. But sometimes we don't have His. And this hit me a few weeks ago, and I was reading through the scriptures of times that when God speaks and seemed like no one's listening, or if they are listening, they don't have attention to do what's been said. And so this question came to my mind, and I began to look through the scriptures, and I saw some things that might amaze me, certainly in these passages. Does God have our attention? We're here tonight. I'm glad you're here. We worship God. Many of us don't miss the service. We worship all the time. But does God have our attention every time we're here? Would you be honest if you looked in the mirror of God's word to say tonight, preacher, I'm here, but you've not got me for the next hour. I'm here for 30 minutes, but you don't have me for the whole 30 minutes. If I said no, I'd probably say the same thing. Why? Because let's face it, there's a lot of things that gets our attention other than when we got to have our attention. And so I hope you see that. Now look with me, if you will, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, John said, I, John, also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom, and he said, and the patient of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I was a prisoner, put in prison, not because I did a criminal deed, not that I distrust anyone or hurt anyone or robbed anyone or did anyone injustice. I'm in prison because I preached and gave forth the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Which day is that? Sunday. It's got to be that. And some people talk about, you know, about going to church on Sunday, and because Jews went on the Sabbath day, but the Lord's day, if you look in the book of, in the New Testament, certainly the book of Acts and through, you see that they began to meet on the Lord's day. And so I assume that John here, on the Lord's day, when he was in the Spirit, and by the way, it's the Holy Spirit, on the Lord's day, that he worshiped God and had some type of med service. By the way, God is with us every day. But there must have been something on the Lord's day that had to do with worshiping him. And he said, I was on the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book, send it into the seven churches which are in Asia, into Ephesus, into Samaria, and Pergamos, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And by the way, I hope those who did get a copy of my book enjoyed that. I thank the Lord for Dr. Spikler and what he wrote in front of that, and he gave it away. And I thank the Lord for many folks. All the books I've written, that's one that I had the most respond for. And he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, isn't it amazing? He was hearing a voice, he put that voice to a person, but when he turned, he didn't see a person. He saw seven candlesticks. And there's a reason for that, because it represents something that he's got a message for. And he goes on, and he said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Don't you think that God had John's attention? Anyone here believe he didn't have God's attention? And when you see this, God got his attention. And that's what I read here as I go through. And he had in his right hand seven stars out of his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in the strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his hands upon me, saying to me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. And he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I'm glad. By the way, this is on the side of resurrection, God and Jesus Christ in heaven now. And he said, yeah, it's me, John. I was dead and I'm alive now. I was dead and rose from the dead. And he said, behold, I live forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. Therefore, write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now turn over to chapter 4, and let's pick up a little bit more of what we're looking at here. In chapter 4, verses 1, we go down to verse 20 real fast like, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now this, no doubt, is a fulfillment, again, to John, to some degree, to show the rapture of the church. And we think that's probably a reference to this in 1 Thessalonians, what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 14 through 17. But he said, come up hither, I want to show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, many of me think that's the rapture of the church. I have a reason not to believe that. But in this case, when the rapture of the church takes place, we're not going to see all that's going on the earth. We know it's going on because God has given prophecy. But God wanted John to move up to see what's going on the earth because he's going to write this book. And this book's going to tell us things in the future. And so that's what he's getting his eyes for. And he said, immediately, I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. But notice, it wasn't John sitting on the throne. It was another apostle. He's pretty plain about that. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight, like unto an emerald. Most rainbows, you only see half, but this is a circle of the throne. And around the throne were 24 and 20 elders, 20 seats. And when upon the seats I saw 24 and 20 elders sitting clothed in white raiments, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And when we look at these few minutes and see what John really saw as far as description. And out of the throne proceeded thunder and lightning, thunder and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast like faces a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Some people look at that and say, that's just a bunch of mess. But listen, I'll tell you, all those things mean something. We don't have time to look at them tonight. But this wasn't just some freak thing that God said in heaven to make it not real. Everything God does has a meaning behind it. And, of course, these things have meaning. Soon he said the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about them. They were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, is and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders now fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns upon the throne, saying, ladies and gentlemen, one thing is for this, the church is included in half of that, I know. If the other half would be Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But I know this, the church is included here. And crowns at this time that has, Revelation 19, already been before the beaming seat of Christ, been judged according to our rewards. And if the works went into the fire that God talks about, and they come out in precious stone and gold and silver, there's a reward for it. It's stuff of hay and several things like that. It's consumed. There is no reward. And there's 5 crowns in the scriptures given rewards. And those in this seat, which represent the children of God, had crowns to lay at Jesus' feet. You heard me mention this morning, and even though it had nothing to do with this message this morning, and here's what they said. They cut the crowns before him, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And that phrase really grips my heart. Everything that God created was for his pleasure. Everything, you and I, we may shame him, but it's for his pleasure. Everything that God has done for 6,000 years has been for his pleasure. And to show that in the midst of heartache and trouble, he's going to bring a jewel out of his church and present before God the Father one day as his bride, and we'll thank the Lord for that. So I ask to you, does God have our attention here Know this. God certainly, John had God's attention. And God had John's attention. But he saw things, we're walking by faith. My job as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ is to seek knowledge, is to understand that knowledge with God's help, and ask for the wisdom to apply that knowledge, what I learn and what I understand, and then to give that. By the way, if you'll be honest, your job is the same way wherever you're at in the level of your Christian life. You're a representation of the kingdom of God, and you're to bear witness to this world who you are if you're saved. The only difference is God had taken me years ago up the ranks of life, put me in a position where now the authority to give the word of God, provided I give it right and study it, and you'll see best of my ability. I've done this in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and through 7. Wisdom is the principal thing in verse 7 to get wisdom. God says do that. Why? We know we did do so this morning. We're to learn, we're to keep what we learn, and we're to do what we actually learn. But God says now, out of the things that I give you in the sense of understanding, in the sense of the word of God, you need wisdom. And that wisdom is necessary. Wisdom is needed to separate things to understand phrases. Wisdom is needed, if you read this book, to apply things together in the right context. Wisdom is needed to look as a reference, a commentary of God's word, and see to it you put things in brackets where they reference each other for us to understand the true meaning of God's picture from Genesis to Revelation. And at this time, wisdom is needed to separate things to understand phrases. It's needed for the word to understand words, to understand statements, to understand scripture in context, so we can understand what God has said into our heart when we study it. Some people say, don't get too far ahead of yourself. Now that's pretty good. Wonder why that's said. Because probably if you get too far ahead of yourself, you'll miss what God has to say. Then others say, do not get left behind. Now how can you... What is that? Don't get too far ahead of yourself. Don't be left behind. Well, too far ahead of yourself could be you miss what God has to say. To get left behind, it may you get to the place dull of hearing and say, I don't care what God has to say because of Satan's influence. And so what happens is these scriptures are powerful in our hearts and life. You find in Psalm 37, verse 34, and Proverbs 20, verse 22, it says, wait on the Lord. Then you find in Hebrews 12, 1 and Isaiah 40, 31, he says, run with the Lord and you'll not get weary. Now, which one is it? I mean, are we to find ourselves, wait on the Lord? Or are we to run with the Lord? Well, we know in context, we understand there is a waiting and there's a running. As a matter of fact, you better wait before you run. If you run before you wait, you may run in error. So God gives us understanding. But someone say, but you can't wait and run at the same time. Well, it may be thinking that way, but God says this for a reason. As a matter of fact, he says, wait on the Lord. And when in Hebrews 12, 1 and 40, the Lord, he said, and if you run with the Lord, you'll not get weary. Now, consider the comments that's made. Am I waiting or am I running? Which one am I doing? Should be both in the Christian life. When you think about, what about live for the moment? Learn from your past, but plan your future. Now, I might understand it better, but I've heard that. You live for the moment. Notice again. You learn from your past and plan for your future. That sounds good. But in analyzing that phrase, I thought this. I might understand it better if I learn from a past, plan for my future while you live for the moment. In other words, what you do now is to forget the past, put it under blood, live now and plan for the future. That's what God's done for. Jesus came to plan for the future so you and I could go to heaven one day. And so I'm beginning to put together some things that's wonderful. You and I cannot be in two or three places at the same time. So there's no way I can wait and run at the same time. God can, because God is omnipresent. And so these terms are showing us a part of God, but letting us understand, well, I can't do it at once. I can do it when I have to do it. Because if I will wait on the Lord, and I'll seek his face, and I will study this book like he says do, when I run, it'll be right. It'll be right. And so I understand this phrase of, does God have our attention? To get our attention, he'll teach us these things in life. And so, like I said, God has already When you think about it in your life, God is already in our future. He's already taking care of our past. In the present now, he's taking care of the past. And he's forgiven your past in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? My past is gone. I'm living daily and daily by day as I go, planning for the future. It is not me planning it. It's letting God help me plan it through his precious word. I'm going to face him one day. Not by faith, but by sight. By sight, folks. Excited to look for the return of the Lord. And I began to see what John is seeing here. I might understand it when you think about these things. And when you consider the comments, I'm running and waiting. As a matter of fact, you and I cannot be in two places at the same time. God is already in your future. Now, let us let John help us approach God from the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, John did not need a three-day revival to get in the Spirit. Some people have to wait revival and can't get into it then. John didn't wait and say, I've got to have a revival for Sunday to get in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and here he was in the Spirit, and the Bible says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Just like that, when he heard the voice. By the way, this is God's voice. We hear it, folks. It's given to us in our day. What an amazing thing. And so I pray that God would help me understand some things along this line. So we want to look at this and see that John himself says, when I saw this, I was in the Spirit, and God quickly showed me some things. We have a standing invitation to come to God present, just like John did through Jesus Christ. This whole world has a standing invitation, whosoever should come. And you and I who have came through Calvary and trusted Christ as Savior, we have the right to come to God and ask for his help when it comes to his word. Never, folks, listen, please, never approach this book without asking God's help. Never do it. It ought to be the first thing you do when you study along with God, that you pray. It may not be a long prayer, but Lord God, this is your book. I believe that. Please keep my mind in line with context and understanding what you show me in wisdom, all those things in Proverbs. Help me understand your will, not try to find something that can say my will and think it's your will. And that's the approach. You approach it, and God honors that. Even in life, when there is an epidemic of uncertainty and anxiety, you and I still have a standing invitation. And I want you to notice something, even in exile. Somebody said, I just don't see how he could live out there in prison like that. He was on the island. John has said, even in exile, John had access to God. And so can we. When Paul was in the Roman jail, they had him bond his flesh, but he could not control his mind. And Paul is saying, in jail, I'm freer than some of you out there in the world. Because he's doing even in bonds. You can't bound the word of God. You can say, don't you worship God, and you worship him, and they don't even know you worship him. And Satan can't do a thing about it because he can't see some things. And if he could see you, when you're worshiping God, you got him. He has your attention when you're worshiping. And I love this. John's vision of heaven became the book of the Revelation, and we have this wonderful story now. Now, John proves that attention is needed to be able to access something and also relate what we access or relate to what we access. It's no good to access something if we don't learn something from it because it's a waste of time. What we focus on means everything to us in life. So when you're studying, you got to focus on it. That's the reason I love the privacy of the home. That's the reason I love it early in the morning sometimes, especially when I... folks, did you know to come up with a message, the first draft is never good. If you can get up a message the first draft, bless your heart. It's always the third or fourth draft when I really get to it. Because I see what I saw, and then I see what I didn't see, and then I see what I should have saw, and then I begin to redraft that thing, and it comes up different. And I hope and pray you understand that too, because you and I don't have the answer just like that. God could give it to us, but there's so much he wants us to know other than what we're trying to get across to somebody. And he gives us wonderful access to his precious word to help out like that. And so God has made a way to get our attention by sending his son down the staircase of time through eternity, through the physical birth. And here we have divinity wrapped in humanity. When I look at Christmas, I see divinity wrapped in humanity. When I look at Easter, I see divinity wrapped in humanity. I see something beyond what the world sees. Why? Because the Savior is who God is exalting and who the Holy Spirit is trying to exalt in this life. God has given us His attention. The question is, does God have our attention to receive His plan in time for eternity? And the three things quickly I'll give to you. First, number one is this. I thought, how many opportunities have we missed because we were paying attention to the wrong thing? Now, I take myself on this. Lord, I don't know how many opportunities I missed because in my life I may have been paying attention to the wrong thing. And by the way, so have you. I guarantee if you go back and be honest, you'll find somewhere or another that we were paying attention to the wrong thing. How many times have we missed something that God put right in front of us that we could have done, but we were not paying attention? John had access to God while on a remote island called Patmos. Isn't it amazing? He was as close to God there as he was when he was preaching, passing the church in his life. John had access to God. How many of us have asked God to use us? I have. And then when God put something right in front of us that we should do and could do, we were not paying attention enough to do it. I've been there, so I understand that can happen to anybody who's a child of God. Sometimes I didn't feel like it. God gives us opportunity. His ways, not our ways. John is a tremendous access to God's direction. Even while he was exiled on the island of Patmos, he was in the center of God's will. Sometimes God may lay something on the heart and open the door and we say, God, that just don't look right, what I could do. I believe someone else could do it better. But if God gave me the skill, whatever to do, and he gave me the opportunity to do it, and I don't do it, then I find myself moving back from him rather than moving forward. Because God has a plan and purpose for all of us. And then we look at the things and we understand. Sooner or later, he opens the door for us. He gives us opportunity. No, John's open door was not behind him, but in front of him. Now, God's voice was behind him. We see that in chapter 1, verse, I believe, over in 10. He heard the voice behind God. Yeah, he was in the street and heard God's voice. But the door was in front of him, not behind him. The voice behind was encouraged to move forward. That's the reason Paul said, I press to the mark of the high calling of God. It's always moving forward. We've already been here. We need to be moving forward. If God gives us anything, it's moving forward, moving forward. The voice may come from behind, but the direction is forward because the door is always going to be forward. Why? Why should I go back through a door I've already been through? Folks, I'm honest with you. This book is powerful. That may be the reason why, when you really look at Scripture and let God speak to our heart about what He wants us to do to get our attention, sometimes we say, I don't know about that. I just don't know about it. And so I see God telling me that there are signs, son, you have to be real careful in what you're looking at to walk in faith. The open door is always before you, not behind you. Paul tells us to press forward to the mark of high calling and forget the things that are behind us, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now the voice may come behind because we might hear, but the pressure and the invitation and the direction is forward. Listen, folks. We're headed to heaven, not back where we came from. And so he wants us to understand that in life. No one is going to move forward in faith and hope and purpose for Christ if we are so preoccupied with what happened to you in the past. What happened last week? What happened last month? What happened last year? Sure, it hurts. Sure, it's unbearable. Sure, we wish it hadn't happened. But if it did happen, that is something we need to get off of because God got something better in the future. But when we stay in the place of regret in the past or resentment in the past, God's front door of faith will not be seen. These are things of the past. Resentment and regret and those things of the past are the past. And if it's something we learned from, go on. If it's something that God says we need to confess, confess it. But keep in mind, God wants us to move on. Those things of the past, if God sees no way out here in this life, he always has the way up. I thought about just in this message the last few weeks. The past is behind us and the cross is before us. And Satan can build all kinds of, it's about Trump's wall. Satan can build all kinds of walls around us. It'll be allowed. Satan can build high walls around us. But let me tell you something. He can't put a top on it. Because that's where God comes to us from. And so what happened? All these things, the walls are great. Whatever may happen around me sometimes, and I don't, sometimes it seems unbearable. I think about Oliver Green before he died the first time, went to the hospital. His wife said his fright seemed to be so bad. He just couldn't understand why he didn't have the peace. Dying, he always called it dying peace. And he went to the hospital and he just couldn't understand what was going on. And he got better and went home. That's the reason God knew what was going to happen. You don't need dying peace unless you're dying. But sometimes we feel like we're dying. Did you know God knows when we're dying? Do you not know, folks, God will give us dying peace when time comes? He's our Father. He promised these things in life. And we stay in regret. And so the past is behind us and the cross is before us. What we need to do sometimes is just switch position in our mind. And ask God to help us with that which I'm on. God's got my attention now. Help me switch mine. I mean, after all, when it comes to God getting John's attention, well, he gets that. By the way, let me tell you something. The day you got saved, God got your attention. The day I got saved, God got my attention. I sat on church pew for 3 years thinking I was all right. Boy, did he get my attention. He gets our attention. But I've got to say, I probably have a lot of times in my life that when it comes to God getting my attention, I didn't let it come in like it did. In fact, I probably got saved early if I'd let him got my attention earlier. How many times did you and I hear the gospel before we got saved? I tell you, the first time you heard it, he was getting your attention. But we didn't pay much mind to it, did it? It's so easy. It's so easy to sit here in these church pews. Hopefully. When you get in that world, it's different. And so easy to be in a place to feel all right, especially if everybody else says we're all right. But there comes a time that God gets our attention to let us know you can't be all right unless you're born again. And when he does that, he helps us in life. So we may not be able to predict events when they unfold before us, but we can decide whether they're before us or behind us. The main point is here is not that what happens next, but are we allowing God to help us put them in the right place for us? I think about this. May God help me to help me to miss my God-given attention, or help me not to miss my God-given attention. I wrote this early this morning. God, help me not to miss my God-given attention because I may be focused on the wrong thing. I mean that. I can do this as much as anyone else. Sunday is wearisome. And I pray that God help me not be attention to things on the wrong things when God wants to get my attention to him. And he has ways of doing that. Sometimes it may be that he talks, whispers through his word to us in the quietness of the hour. It might be sometimes there's an event that takes place. And I tell you this, folks. If you're born again, every event that comes your life that goes against the flesh, you'll run to God. Because you realize he's the one who got the answer. He's the only one who can do it. So may God help me when I miss God's given attention that I will be able to listen when he talks to me. Second thing, quickly, God gave John an invitation to come up hither. He said, I'll show you things which be hereafter. Now, note when he gives us that, you may not get rid of the struggle that gets in front of you, but you can get above them and see them from a new, respected way. And that's what we see in Revelation 4:1. We can do that. I said something like that this morning. I can't see but so much here, but rise me up, and I can see a whole lot more the higher I go, even though after a while it gets littler, I can't see it at all. But I'm seeing perspective on a bigger place, rising up in the air, breaking the gravitation, than I can here, and so could you. And so here, God brought John up, didn't signify the rapture, in a place to see the throne of God. He was seeing things that no one else had ever seen, except the angels in heaven themselves. And so here, Immediately, John did not need a three-day revival. I've said God gave given faith is anticipated without anxiety here. And as a born-again child of God in Jesus Christ, my events in life do not destroy my equation of God, folks, or should not. And I wrote that later this morning, too. My events in life that I face should not destroy my equation with God as faith. Because if it does, then I'm not really letting God get my attention. And so I see things in life that were in turn will come out right when I understand I'm in the right place. And so again, God-given faith is anticipation with anxiety. And again, as John, a born-again child of God in Jesus Christ, his life is not destroyed because of an event, for Jesus is there. The third thing I want you to see finally is the final authority in Revelation 4. Not only I see that God helps me by getting my attention, not only I see that invitation to come up hither, I see better. I cannot come up no more further than I am now. But when I read this, folks, I'm coming up to a level the world can't see. This is up to God inspired through the portals of the veil in this flesh, in the spiritual world, so that you would have something here that's up here. It's God, the Holy Spirit, that's given this to us when we bear witness to our heart about things in life. And so I see the final authority in Revelation 4. John saw a glimpse of the throne room in heaven. There's a throne in heaven. But John wasn't sitting on it. Paul wasn't sitting on it. No one else is sitting on it. An angel, no one else is sitting on it. It was God himself, and no doubt probably God the Son. There was a throne that was there. God gave John an evaluation and then gave him an invitation to come up and see the new view of his life in the future as he develops the end of the age. This is a throne. It's got a rainbow about it that encircles the throne. It shines like an emerald, he says. This reveals the brilliancy and the splendor of Almighty God. There were 24 elders sitting around the throne, according to Revelation 4:4, with crowns of gold signifying divinity, and also with white robes signified purity. But they were not there on their own. It was not their purity. It was the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's Son who imputed to us his righteousness so we could be there. We didn't deserve to be there. I'll tell you one thing, folks, I believe it on my heart. Even in a glorified body, when we see what God has prepared for us, because it's beyond our mind, eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. When we see it, we're going to say, I've never seen nothing like this. My glorified body can't hardly comprehend this. God did this for us. Why didn't I serve him more? Why didn't I do more for him? And God did all this for us. I deserve hell. By the way, even in heaven, I know I need to deserve hell. As I think now, I think God will erase it when I get there. But I think now I deserve hell. I didn't deserve to be saved. You didn't deserve to be saved. But aren't you glad God overrides everything, even our sin? He paid it for us. John saw something here that revolutionized his life. I believe it all my heart. And here, it's refreshing to know that God is on the throne in heaven. It's refreshing to know that whatever Satan does to try to dethrone him has been trying since he fell. He can't do it. He has no power to do it. But sometimes he makes us think he can because he seems to dethrone us and how he comes to us with things in life. Sometimes we don't even recognize him when he comes. It's refreshing to know who's sitting there, his seat of control. His seat of majesty is taken, and no one can ever take it from him. That's the reason why we'll be there forever. No one will ever. Satan will never rise from the pit of hell that God's prepared for him and his angels to take the throne again. As a matter of fact, as far as we're concerned, it's be done away with, because only God will know where it's at. They can't cease to exist. But only God knows what's that. They'll never be able to arrive arrive out of that abyss pit and dethrone God. Never be able to do it. There's an invitation to come through Jesus Christ and sit among the elders. Revelation 4:4, 10, verse 10 and verse 11. Humanity needs the one who sits on that throne in heaven to sit on the throne of each heart. And here's my last thought, through Jesus Christ. The one who's sitting on that throne can sit on the throne of our heart while we're here. Isn't that amazing? That's a wonderful thing. God, who is so great and big to create what he created, can become so small and loving that he can live in our heart. Folks, that blows my mind. It blows my mind. I see that. And so humanity needs that one who's sitting on that throne that John saw here by his Spirit to come and live in our heart. If you notice in verse 10, what happened when we go before the bema seat of Christ and rewards are passed out, and I'll read it to you one more time and then we'll go home. He simply says this. Watch. If you look in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10, the 24 elders, and we're including that for to represent the church. Some people say that it's the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles. But he says, forever, you put it, the church is here. And the 24 elders. It also amazes me that when you see the end of, we see the chapter 3, verse 22, the end of that chapter, the church is not mentioned no more in the book of Revelation. You get to the other end. Right now, up to this time, he told us what, there's 7 churches in Asia Minor? It always amazes me, right in the book, when I get to chapter 3 and verse 22, that when it talks about that last church, it's not mentioned no more because everything's happened on this earth. The church is out of here. And then we come back with him in Revelation 19 as the bride, and we see chapter 20 taken up again. But he says here, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. Now, folks, listen. When I read, they fall down, it don't mean that God knocks them down. It doesn't mean that we come up, well, I read and I need to pray again. It means when you see it, you pop to your knees. Just like that. There's a Holy Ghost, new glorified body framework that comes on. That you're standing before the greatest being that's ever lived. And he's lived from everlasting past to everlasting future. Amen. You're standing before the one who had the power by his word to speak and world be formed. And then I look and I see, he says, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, go back and notice 5 crowns, and we not win them all, but they certainly there. They cast them. We come out of the beam of seat of Christ, we rewarded, and maybe we get a crown. And God says, you say, I don't really deserve that. God says, I know that. I paid your price. But I made the promise that if you serve me, I was going to reward you. You're my family because of the birth. But I made a promise, if you serve me, I'm going to reward you. You get that crown, or 2, or 3, maybe all 5. Paul probably get all 5. Also, there's other things, the light shining, so forth, that glorified body. And then when that happens, and you get it, you may try to refuse it, but he said, no, it's yours. I give it to you. There's going to come a time, though, we're going to still understand we don't deserve it. And then we bow. And notice what he says, that word that he said, then cast the crown before the throne, saying, I don't know how that's going to be, what it's laid or how they do it, but they place every one of those one place the crown at Jesus' feet. And they cry out together, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God, we see now that when you started with creation, with even the angels, for your pleasure, you destroyed that which would not bring you pleasure. And then you created man for your pleasure. He fell, and yet you prepared a way for man that he could have life. And therefore, you save that person for your pleasure. And now, what pleasure it must be, folks. Please hear me. Please hear me. What pleasure it must be to Almighty God when the creation that he had made and they fail and redeemed them back, and even when he rewarded them for their service, what pleasure it must have been when they give those crowns back to him. I say, no, God, you're worthy. You're worthy. It must bring a tremendous feeling to God's heart, who's a God of love, that says, you know what? They do love me. They do love me. It's not that he didn't know it, but we'll see it. And you don't find one of these who keeps them. They all cast them at his feet and cry, Thou art worthy, O Lord. See, glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. It's for your pleasure, and we want to do this for your pleasure. Father in heaven, Lord, if nobody gets anything out of this, I thank you for the hours. I thank you, Lord, for the study. God, it amazes me how real your word will make yourself to an individual. And I'm sorry, Lord, I can't get across like I feel it. And maybe that's good reason, because if I get across like I feel it, I might mess it up. Well, I just want to get it across and say the words and let you take it from there and get out of the way. Help someone tonight, first, who's not saved, to see their need. And help someone who is saved to see their need of service. And help someone who's saved, Lord, realize this life is not our home. It's not going to be long before we'll be on the other side. And whatever we do, we must do. I know this, Lord. Age physically changes things for us. I think, bless Sister Shirley Driver's heart now that she has dementia. And Lord, she was talking, I was just talking to her this week. She's talking about how she just loved to serve God. And I believe that, because I've known her a long time. And her and her husband both, Jimmy. And now the mind's slipping, it's gone. And she'll not be able to do what she used to do. But this, Lord, is for sure. We do what we can do, and I believe she will do that. She said, I still know the plan of salvation. I can give it to somebody. I said, so surely you may get, you sure can, and you probably can give it to wherever you're going. Because she's got different places they got scheduled for her to go. And Father, bless her, I pray tonight. And everyone else, Brother Wheeler, Sister Wheeler, just so many, Sister Katie Mitchell, Brother Ted Penny, who had just good health doing serving God, and now they have to pick, and some can't even do that because the mind's gone. Please bless them, Lord. Help us to see, when we got a good mind, how much we want to give it to God. Help us this week. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.